Tonight I'd like to invite you over to Psalm 119, verse 17. Psalm 119, verse 17.
Psalm 119, verse 17 reads this way. It says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. Lord, once again, we thank you for the privilege of assembling together in your house. And then, Lord, being reminded where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we do thank you for your presence tonight. We do pray, Lord, that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you. And Lord, that you might draw our hearts closer to you and allow us to grow in the grace that you've given to us, that we might truly be the witnesses you've called us to be to a lost and dying world, and that we would enjoy the salvation that you have given to us. So bless, build Northwood, Lord, for your honor and glory, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "Open Thou Mine Eyes." Open Thou Mine Eyes. Now, we're not really 100% sure, but many theologians believe that this was a Psalm of David. And this was written really concerning the Word of God after, towards the end of his life, but after this situation that happened with Bathsheba. And so he's gone through some things in life, and he's not a new believer in the Lord. He's experienced the persecution of Saul. He's experienced betrayal. He's experienced all different kinds of things in his life and sin. And so now he's at this place where God is his focal point. And he is wanting the Lord to open his eyes. And so obviously, he's not talking about physical sight here. He is talking about spiritual sight. So the question we want to consider tonight is, what was the purpose or desire for this insight or this spiritual sight that he was talking about? And what we find here is the answer given really throughout these few verses that we're going to look at. But 17, 18, in verse 17 and in 18, he says, "That I may live and keep thy word." He wanted that kind of a life. And also, "to behold wondrous things out of thy law." So David had, or the psalmist here, had a regard and a desire for the Word of God and for God's commandments, right? He was concerned about that. And so as we consider this, notice verse 17, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live." Now, everybody has life until they leave this life, but everybody has life. But he didn't want to just have an existence. He wanted to live in unison, congruency with God himself. He wanted to have a working, viable relationship with him. And that requires, by the way, he's saved. Amen. This is a saved child of God writing this. And not only that, but he wanted something more than just eternal life. It amazes me, really, and I'm glad that it does amaze me, that people think, "Well, that's saved, that's all I need, and I'm saved, and that's it." That's concerning to me, because something's missing concerning the love of God and concerning a desire to draw nearer. I mean, if God is so wonderful and God is really our Savior, where's our love for that love that he has shown us? Why that should be there? Even when David sinned, it bothered him, and he repented and turned back. I'm convinced there are a lot of people that are self-deceived. They think, they call themselves, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian," but when you delve a little deeper into that, they have some different stories, right? They don't really line up with salvation, and it's more than, listen, it's a relationship with God that changes our life from the inside out. And this is what is evident here in the life of David. Now, is it possible for somebody to be saved and be cold to the things of God? Absolutely. But boy, is that the kind of testimony a believer would really want to have? "I just want to be saved. I just want to, and now I'm going to live life for me. And I don't care about the things of God. You know, I might open the Bible. I might, you know, listen to something. But I'm not really all that concerned about the Lord." That's just a hard pill for me to swallow. And for sure, I would not want to be in that person's shoe. shoes. So notice again, he says, deal bountifully with thy servant. So what is he saying by deal bountifully? He wants to be overflowing. He doesn't just want a meager relationship with the Lord. He wants, when we think of a bounty, we think of a lot, don't we? I mean, you know, he came into a bounty of groceries, or he came into a bounty when he hit that gold strike. You know, we could talk about things of the world monetarily speaking, and we think they came into a lot of whatever it was that they were looking for. And David here particularly is looking for a relationship with the Lord, and he wants it to be bountiful. You know why he wants it to be bountiful? Because that's God's promise. He's come to give us life, and life more abundantly or bountifully. Amen. So he says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and have the kind of life that you want me to have. Notice this, and notice, keep thy word. Remember what Jesus said, if you love me, you'll what? You'll keep his, we'll keep his words, right? If we love him. And so this is real. So David is wanting to have a loving relationship and the influence and working of God in his life, that he will keep the word of God. And so that's the kind of, you know, it ought to be the child of God's desire to say, you know what, I want to be found faithful. Can you be found faithful and disregard the word of God and disobey the word of God? Absolutely not. And by the way, you know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I want to love the Lord. And by the way, God is not asking us for something that he will not perform. Our relationship with the Lord has everything to do with the Lord. Amen. And his love for us to bring us to this place that he wants us to go to. So our lives have been planned out, have they not? By who? So if God, listen, if God in eternity past planned for his son to come and die on the cross to pay for our sins, to give us his life, is that not what he gave us? He gave us his life and then to empower us with the Holy Spirit. Didn't he say wait for the Holy Spirit? And then so the Holy Spirit came on the believer for nothing to happen. No, the Holy Spirit came on God's people to change our lives. The Bible calls the Greek word that is the dunamos, the dynamite power that changes the life of the believer. And so that is the healthy place for a believer that loves the Lord. I don't want to be a status quo, neither here nor there, or mediocre Christian. I want you, Lord, to show. I want to be wowed and awed, and God give me something to praise him for in my own personal life. And here's the wonderful truth. God wants to do that, and David knew that, and we also should know that as we read the word of God. Everything about the Lord is I have everything that you need. That's the Lord. And I will give it to you. You just have to do, well, two little things. You have to have something, and you have to ask something, right? You have to have faith or trust that God is true to his word. That's all we have to do. And then the last thing is we just have to ask the Lord. What is David doing right here? He's asking the Lord. He's saying, listen, God, I want this from you. So he says, open thou mine eyes. Has David seen some things already in life? Absolutely. And you know what he says? I need you, Lord, to open my eyes to see more. Now, he's talking about the word of God here in Psalm 119. You know what that is telling us? We can read the word of God, and if we don't ask God, we won't see what God wants us to see. We might see what we want to see, but I don't want to see what I want to see. I want to see what God wants me to see, because that's more powerful. See, I can come, well, I know that I've read the Psalm 119. I can't tell you how many times. And so I'm just going to look for what I know. Well, that's going to get old real fast. But Lord, I want you to show me what you want me to see that will improve and enhance my relationship with you. And with the testimony that you want to give me so that a lost and dying world can see your great grace. So he says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I want to see wondrous things. And by the way, listen, how many of you know that even the Old Testament was not complete during the time of David's life? And so you and I have more to see than David did. Amen. Now, of course, you know, in heaven, he sees it all. But on earth here, you and I have been given more that we can see from the Lord. And so, Lord, I need you, Lord, to otherwise we'll say, well, this is what this says, and that's never going to change. And there's never any more to it. Just my little brain says that's it. And that's all I'm going to get, isn't it? But if I say, Lord, your word is infinite. Your word is eternal. Your word is beyond my comprehension. And so, Lord, I need you to open up my eyes so that I might see the things that I don't fully, truly understand. Listen, do you know God requires one thing to draw near to him, and that is a desire to obey him. God will bless that. God, listen, so David is saying, I am yielding the right of way to you, God. That's what David is saying. I'm yielding the way, and I need you to guide me and lead me so that I might see these things in your word that no doubt David has read and read and read and read over and over and over again. And he's saying, there is still more for me to see that I need you to bless me by opening up my eyes that I might see these truths. Because what happens is if we're not careful, if we're not open to God's leadership, then we could be and we can be teachers of the word of God and not doers of it. Right. Weren't the Pharisees like that? They were great teachers. They were profound, but they did not do the word of God. So we can know things about the Word of God, but if we don't know the God of the Word the way He wants us to, we won't be found faithful, because the way God wants us to know Him is by His power and His strength through His Word. It's got to be intermingled there. It can't just be head knowledge. It has to be the Spirit that works. And I don't know why, you know, in this day and age, I'm afraid people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. But without He's the one that guides us. And that's God's ordained authority to lead the believer into understanding what you and I really need in this life. Otherwise, we say, well, here's what I think I need, and this is what I want. Do you think we're following the Lord with that kind of mentality? Absolutely not. In fact, we're defiant of the Lord. In fact, you know what God calls that? Pride. When we think, God, I know what I want and what I need, that's called pride. And the Bible says God resists the proud, and that individual will dry up. Oh, they might have a life, but they won't be vibrant, and they'll miss out on the things of God. So he says, open thou mine eyes, verse 18, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Notice what he says here. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. So here's what he's saying. I'm just passing through. More important than what this world has to offer is his relationship and our relationship with God Almighty. Isn't it true? We are just passing through. We're not, listen, you know, you can name a mountain after your name with your name. You're just passing through. And ultimately, this whole earth will be recreated, won't it? Burned up, recreated. Nothing's going in this world is going to last forever. Not even if you got a street named after you. If you got a bronze plaque somewhere, that's all good and well. I'm not against that. But realize this, we're just passing through. The Washington Monument. You think George Washington really cares about that? You think he's thinking about that in the presence of the Lord? Absolutely not. And by the way, I don't believe George Washington, if you read after him, you see that he really did love the Lord. He was up at 4 o'clock in the morning meeting with the Lord in prayer. And they knew that's where, if you wanted him at between 4 and 6 o'clock, that's where he was. And so he loved the Lord. He was dependent upon the Lord. And he, more than anybody else, realized he was just passing through. And he was a wonderful, godly, founding father. Was he perfect? By no means at all. And he would be the first one to tell you that. But one thing he knew, that what was eternal had greater matter than what was temporal. That's why he was able to do what he did, because he was not looking at his life as for himself, but he was giving it to the Lord, and the Lord used it in a great and mighty way. By the way, the Lord wants to use our life in a great and mighty way. He wants us to influence our families. He wants us to influence our friends. He wants us to be an encouragement to our church family. He wants us to be the light and the salt of the world. That's what he wants for us. But we have to have a heart like this. So he says, verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thou thy commandments from me. So what is he saying? What he says, I want to be able to walk. I don't want them. See, if there's a believer, somebody professes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're unfaithful in the little commandments. Will they be unfaithful in the bigger commandments? Absolutely they will. And what are they acting like? They're acting like they're strangers to this. See, if we reject the little things, and by the way, listen, all of us, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody says or thinks about you and I. You know what really matters? What God thinks. So what does he think about our relationship with him? Is it revealing our love for him? Look, as you look at this, can you see the heart of David? Can you see his love for God? Can you see it? Listen, when God looks into our lives, is that, oh God, Lord, that I would honor you, that you would not hide, that you would reveal to me and show me the way to walk in your commandments. So you think David had this idea? Well, by golly, I've tried. I just can't do it, so I'm giving up. Do you think that's where David was coming from? Or do you think he says, you know what, Lord, you've promised to do this for me. I'm calling upon you to show me the way. Amen. See, listen, you heard the old cliche, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. We're not dogs. We are saved children of the Lord that God holds in his hands. And if we will call upon him to show us and grow us in his grace, I believe he'll do that. But we have to be willing to follow. Right? Because if he says, this is what I want you to do, let's start off in the... Is God going to start us off in the big things or in the little things? He's going to say, let's start you off right here in the little things. Let's conquer these things. And then you'll see that when God can give us the victory in the little things, we'll get excited about following him to do more. That's what he wants to do. When we see him giving us victory in the little things, we know that we'll be able to trust him in the big things. So notice he says here, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Listen to this. My soul, verse 20, breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments once a year. Sometimes. Did you get that? His soul breaketh for the longing. Listen, it was like a love desire for God to fulfill, a longing. You know, it's like your loved one that you haven't seen. You have a longing to see them. And so likewise also here, he said he had a longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. He wanted to be faithful to the Lord concerning his judgments. How often? All the time. And question, do you think this psalmist knew he needed God's help? Yeah, you and I, listen, can you and I really do this without the Lord? Was it God's plan for us to do this without him? Absolutely not. So listen, all we have to do is have how much faith? Just a little bit. Just a grain of a mustard seed to say, Lord, do that for me. Do you know God will say, all right, that's what I've been waiting for. God is waiting. God wants us to call. Doesn't he say, call on me and I'll answer thee? He knows what we need, but he wants us to call on him, because that's the faith part that honors him. Notice what it says here. Verse 21, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Did you see that? Listen, he's not talking about people that don't know the commandments of God. He's talking about those who know, but something is hindering them from failing in the commandments of God. Do you know what that is? Pride. Pride. This is the worst one. God can never, ever enable me to overcome this. That is terrible. Lord, you can do how many things? Isn't that amazing? Even with me? Isn't that amazing? He can do that for all of us. So, he says, call on me, show me, I'll show you. And then notice what he says here. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Remove from me reproach and contempt. And what's contempt? People that have a disdain for the things of God. People that would say, I don't believe that for a minute when it comes to the word of God. God can't do that. Let me just tell you what I know. And David was saying, remove. I don't want to be influenced by that. I am one that wants to keep your commandments. And so remove those things. And by the way, I want you to know, if we're not careful, the things we listen to are contemptible before the Lord. And they can remove our hearts away from the Lord if we listen to it. So we got to be careful what we watch, what we're listening to, who's speaking to us, and be guarded, because God is paramount. In other words, the honor of the Lord is what's all important. So notice what he says in verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me. So he realized that. By the way, all who will live godly are going to suffer persecution, but thy servant did meditate on thy statutes. Did you see that? Listen, we don't have to defend ourselves. God does not want us to argue with people. You know, God wants us to turn the other cheek. So if somebody tears you apart verbally, don't fight back. Don't fight back. Don't fight back. Let the Lord fight. Amen. Let the Lord show you what he can do. And David understood that. David could have had Saul killed how many times? Every time he trapped him, he could have had him killed. But he would not touch the Lord's anointed. By the way, listen, I don't think God wants us to touch anybody. And so, Lord, we'll just trust you, and we'll watch how you work to turn a situation around to your glory and to my blessing, in the way that it would build confidence that you are in control. And I don't need to see it come to pass, but you know what? God allows things to come to pass in our lives to build our faith and our trust in him, that he is merciful. And by the way, that's the first thing that ought to come to our minds. You know what? My goodness, I'm not perfect. I've messed up. I don't want to mess up again. You know? And so I'll be merciful. Right? Isn't that what he said? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. But to walk humbly with thy God, to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God, is what he's asked us to do in Micah 6:8. And so that to love the Lord and to walk humbly and to love mercy and to deliver that. And that's how the Lord came in here. He didn't do any kind of judgment, but he showed his love. So notice this. Verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate on thy statutes. So they were sitting and speaking against him. And did he raise his hand? Did he raise his voice? No. No, he didn't. He just meditated on the word of God. Notice verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Did you see that? Thy testimonies also, because of all this, because listen, did he have a relationship with the Lord? Do you know why this is in the word of God? Because God knew you and I would read his word as a child of God. And these mercies and these blessings are for you and I also. God wants us to have this kind of a relationship. That's why it's in the Word of God, for you and I to understand and to want and to say, oh, God wants to give me, you and I. He wants to give us this. Listen, because that is what will glorify the Lord in our lives. Isn't that amazing? And it will be a blessing to us. And you know what? When God's at work, you know what it causes? You know what happens? We begin to hunger and thirst for more. David had already experienced all kinds of things from the Lord. Was he asking God for more? Do you know what do you think God said when David asked that? Yes or no? Yes. What do you think he'll say for us? You know how we know that? Because he gave us his son. And if he gave us his son, will he not also give us everything else he's promised? So tonight, may we say, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I might see all of your promises and all of your blessings and all of the good things that you want to give to us. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you for your great mercy and grace and love for us. And Lord, may you bless us with the faith to call upon you and to ask you for all these good things that you want us to have, that we might enjoy the salvation that you've given to us and be the testimony you've called us to. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.